listening to the voice of the University of Alabama, WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome into the student section on this beautiful Wednesday night in Tuscaloosa, February 28th, 2018. We're in here in the studio, Gray Robertson, Mike Jones, James Ranieri with me. We're all together once and always every Wednesday. Guys, how are we?
Doing good. It's birthday week.
Oh, is it?
It's birthday week. My birthday's on Sunday.
Oh. So, are we going to... Did you? It's not my calendar.
We'll discuss after the show.
Oh.
After my, the show, we'll discuss.
Oh, no. Mike, how are you?
Big 2-0?
Huh?
20?
Big 2-0, yeah. That'd be 20.
Interesting.
It's crazy. I'm going to be my 20.
And then you're one and done.
Yeah, then I'm one and done. Gray's already 21. Lucky him.
I'm an old guy. I'm the old one here. Wait, how old are you, Mike Jones?
19.
19? Yeah.
His birthday's in the summer. June?
May.
Oh.
That was close.
18th.
May 18th. Well, I'll put that in my calendar.
No, you better.
I won't. Probably. Before we get into an action-packed show, and we've got a lot to talk about, let's discuss some of the hot topics right now coming into the student section. Alabama basketball lost its fourth straight game last night at home to the Florida Gators, 73-52. Alabama drops to 17-13 overall, 8-9 in the SEC, and they head to College Station for Saturday's regular season finale against Texas A&M. Alabama baseball and softball both picked up wins in Birmingham last night. Softball beat UAB 4-0 thanks to a quality start from Courtney Gettens in the circle, and baseball beat Samford 13-3 with the help of a six-run ninth inning. You should have waited because baseball also won about 15 minutes ago against Alabama State 11-1 in the Joe, so they are now 9-0.
Never lost.
Never lost. I would like to make it known that Jones did steal my joke.
That is he did.
That is my joke. Absolutely did.
That's happy birthday, James. Jen stealing a joke. Softball's 10-2. Last night, another SEC basketball games. Arkansas beat Auburn in Fayetteville 91-82. Tennessee blew out Mississippi State in Starkville 76-54, effectively ending the Bulldogs' tournament chances. And Missouri staved off Vanderbilt in Nashville 74-66. The University of Arizona board announced that they will meet Thursday to discuss basketball coach Sean Miller's contract. Miller didn't coach in last week's loss to Oregon after a report claimed to catch him on an FBI wiretap offering star DeAndre Ayton $100,000. And finally, Notre Dame All-American Bonzi Colson is back tonight for the Fighting Irish after missing 2 months with a foot injury. Notre Dame is the eighth team out of the NCAA tournament, according to ESPN bracketologist Joe Lenardi. Good to see Bonzi back, but really not good to see last night's basketball game. I'm just gonna ask one question. What?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Gray, I know you're doing softball. Mike, at what point did you turn it off? Because you couldn't have watched that whole game.
I was at the game.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Where was my text last night?
Awful.
Where was my text?
Well, first of all, Matt just out of the blue was like, "Jones, let's go to the basketball game." So I said, "Okay."
I just darn Matt.
Should never have gone.
So was it as bad in person as it looked on TV?
Oh my God, boy, was it bad. It was awful. Like, that team has no balls. None. I'm pretty much done with them.
Ooh.
Like that is bad.
See, I'm not done with them.
It was awful.
I'm not done with
that
them.
That was embarrassing.
Because, I mean, this is kind of what this team has been like. I mean, we saw a loss like that against Georgia.
But have they been that bad?
Yes,
though?
Against Georgia.
They made 4 shots in the whole first half.
Against the Georgia final score was what, 69-48? And that was the weekend before the national championship. And then they go out and win 4 in a row. I mean, we've seen it before.
We have, but I'm sorry. I think I'm just about to hop off ship on this team.
I agree.
So what's the problem? What do you think the problem is? Is it Avery? I've had a lot of people saying that they don't think Avery Johnson knows how to coach offense in various group chats conversations.
The offense last night, I noticed, was so stationary. No movement, really. And the only movement was when you have a big guy like Dante Hall trying to set a screen 6 feet beyond the three-point line. So Colin Sexton can try to get free.
I think it's
just ridiculous. All they do is swing the ball outside, dump it inside, and then throw it back out. It's just way too stationary.
James?
You know, we talked about it before, how Alabama can win without Colin Sexton, but I've been saying, and they have won, but they're such a different team without him. I think this FBI investigation is kind of looming over him, and I just think it's kind of killing his mood, which is kind of revolving around the team. Granted, he's not in the same situation as DeAndre Ayton, but I still think that this possible looming black cloud around this FBI investigation isn't helping his mood. The draft, I don't know. I like, and Mike, like you said, it's just so frustrating. Like, I'm at a loss of words because I turned it off, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes into the game. Like, it was horrible. I just didn't want to watch it, and it was just made me upset.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no
It was
no
probably
way.
The worst first half of basketball that I've seen from one team in my life.
Well, we were
it
shocked.
It was awful.
Up in the press box at UAB when we were calling softball, me and Tom Canterbury, and we had the stat broadcast up, and, you know, we went a couple innings. I looked, and I turned to Tom. I go, is this accurate? 3 for 27 from the floor? And at that point, Florida wasn't shooting well either. Alabama was shooting 11%. They were only down 8 at one point in the first half. And then Florida started making shots, and it didn't get any better.
It was 18-13 with 10 minutes left in the first half.
And the end.
And then Florida started making shots.
It was 18-37 at halftime. You're not going to win basketball games like that. And we'll talk about it later, but you're not going to the NCAA tournament when you do that. They don't deserve it.
To go to the NCAA tournament.
And we will get to that in just a second, but focusing on the team, what's the fix? Is there a fix? There has to be a fix because everything's riding on this A&M game and then the SEC tournament in St. Louis. Something has to change.
It's got to be a fire. Someone's got to light a fire under their butts to get them moving because this lackadaisical effort from the team last night, you're not going to win games and you're not going to get into this tournament.
So who is that? Because this team has one senior and he's coming back next year because he got hurt. That's Riley Norris. That isn't officially reported yet, but that's what I'm hearing through the grapevine. So who is the quote-unquote senior leader that'll fire everybody up? Is it going to have to be Lawson Schaefer? I mean, he's the oldest guy on the roster.
Well, I would like to say, I would give a quick shout-out to Lawson Schaefer because he was the only person on that team who gave a full effort, in my opinion. He was really hustling on defense. You could tell that he was genuinely excited to be out there. Granted, he doesn't play a lot, and I don't think he expected to play in this Florida game, so he was happy to get on the court. But he had a great effort. He was all over the point guard.
Chioza.
Yeah, Chioza. And it was just, it was frustrating. But just going back to who's got to be the guy, it's Colin. Colin's got to put the team on his back and just do something because whatever's happening the last four games is not working.
And that's my biggest gripe with him. That's why I think he's a tad. I'm just gonna say I think he's a tad overrated, personally.
Ooh, personally, or
just
what do you
in,
mean?
Just
in
my
opinion.
In my opinion, I think he's a little overrated, because when have you really seen him just take the reins and take over a game this year?
Well, it has been a while. I think he has only scored over 20 once in the last 8 games, I believe. And there's been more of a balance across the lineup scoring, but I kind of agree with – I don't think he's overrated, but I do agree that there comes a time when he has to take over.
Yeah, and that last night would have been the night for him to just take over a game and just try to do everything on his own. Like, in a game like last night when nobody's making shots, I'm perfectly fine with Colin Sexton saying, all right, well, I'm just going to try to do it all on my own. Force up Force up some shots, and if they start falling for you, and your confidence gets up, and then people start going towards you, and then you dump it down into Dante Hall. I think that's my phone. No,
it's mine.
You have a very...
Sorry, my house mom is playing Words with Friends with me right now, and it's blowing up. Anyway, keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
No, but that's just the most frustrating thing is he doesn't really take over games. It seems like that he doesn't really have that killer instinct, really. And, like, I was talking to my roommates last night, and I was like, try to think of a game that you can say he took over. And I would give you maybe the Minnesota game when they were only playing with three guys.
I would say that one. I would say the Arizona game.
Yeah,
he took over, but Arizona was good enough to overcome that. I would say all around the Oklahoma game.
He played very well in the Oklahoma game.
His defense on Trae Young was the reason Alabama won that game. But I'm not sure I could tell you one in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, if he's that good, then take over a game or two.
I think just going back to the solutions to this team, I have a question for you guys. Who do you think is the player that's gotten the most minutes on this team?
If I had to guess, are you talking per game or for the whole season?
For the whole season.
I would say Dazon.
Nope.
I know he missed a few with injury, but I would say per game he probably gets the most.
Mike?
Is it going to be...
It's not who you think it is.
Is it Petty?
It is Petty. That needs to change.
Really?
Yes, John Petty has the most minutes.
Wow.
That has to change.
He was a ghost last night. I didn't notice him once last night.
He's a different player in the first half and the second half of the season. I don't know what's changed. I don't know what.
Well, but I think it's mental.
It probably
doesn't help that we're mentioning it now, because this is a guy who struggled so much on the road, and it's talked about. And I mean, I've beaten the dead horse on Twitter. I've mentioned how, you know, John Petty at home is DirecTV. John Petty on the road is cable. And it's in his head now.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that need to change, and unfortunately, this is not the time for those adjustments. And Alabama's tournament hopes now solely rest on the A&M game and whatever they do in St. Louis. Joe Lenardi still has Alabama as one of the last four byes as a 10 seed. I mean, the resume is good enough to warrant a bid, but you lose to A&M, you drop first round, say, against Georgia, as a bracket would look right now, 17-15. That's not happening.
No,
you've got to at least win one more game. Probably two to feel safe, but you win one more, and I think everything's fine.
To me, last night was a must-win. The game on Saturday is a must-win for Alabama. They can't lose. They can't go, 9-11 in conference play?
8-10.
8-10. That can't happen.
And if we're being perfectly honest, I feel like this stretch was almost more predictable than we were talking about a couple weeks back. We were like, all right, worst case scenario, they go 1-4 and they beat Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of whistling past the graveyard there.
It's tough. It's so frustrating. I couldn't even watch one half of this team last night. I was watching The Challenge, which is had a great episode. And I was actually entertaining to watch, and I didn't feel guilty at all not watching that game.
Well, and I think I'm going to speak for all three of us here. The reason that we're being so hard on the basketball team is not because we're fans that are, you know, we're not the quote-unquote typical Alabama fan that, oh, they're not winning, we're bitter, we're mad. No, it's more that we're disappointed because we know how good this team can be. We know the talent that is on this roster, and for some reason there's a disconnect throughout the entire squad. And I think it's just disappointment because we've seen the good. The good was 3 weeks ago against Tennessee, winning by 20-something points at home, and then beating LSU by the same score, if not worse, in Coleman Coliseum. So we know how good it can be. And I think Alabama fans aren't necessarily jumping ship. They're just wondering how it could go so south so fast.
Yeah, great. I remember after that LSU game, I asked the question. I said, are we peaking too early? And I think the answer was yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to think that last week this time, we were talking about Alabama possibly upsetting Auburn in Auburn Arena, and now we're talking about them not even making the NCAA tournament. It's kind of insane.
They gave up last night.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. Like, the mood in this room is somber because this team is capable of so much more, and it's just tough.
It really is, and we're going to keep talking about it once we come back from break. Coming up on the other side, a little bit more Alabama basketball conversation. We're going to dig into the FBI probe. DeAndre Ayton, Sean Miller, they're mixed up in something shady, and who else will be impacted? Some bracket banter. The Big Ten Conference Tournament started today. I don't know. And then we'll get everybody's Oscar picks because Oscar night is coming up on Sunday, and we like to talk about stuff other than sports here in the student section. We'll do all that on the other side here on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Thanks, Eli. Welcome back to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. Gray Robertson, Mike Jones, James O'Neary here with you. Before we put the Alabama basketball conversation to bed, we were talking during the break just how we really don't know how to explain last night's game to Florida. Avery Johnson certainly didn't sound like he knew how to explain it in the postgame press conference. Now they take on A&M on Saturday, a team they beat in Coleman Coliseum handily. How do they win that game? What do they have to do? What has to change? They're leaving on Friday for College Station. I'll be there, so I'll do my best to cheer everybody on. But what do you do? How do you win that game?
I mean, this is the simple answer, but literally the exact opposite of what you did last night. Like, Colin Sexton needs to put the team on his back if it's necessary. Braxton Key's got to have a good game. John Petty can't shoot. He's just got to pass everybody. Can't play as many minutes. But, I mean, like you said, Avery plays him the most.
And make layups.
Just better effort.
I've never seen more missed layups than last night.
There is a part of me that really does think that they can win this game, though.
Me too.
Would I be surprised if they won this
game? No.
No.
I feel
not
crazy,
at all.
Though.
This is the exact game that they would win.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like.
Well, they've done it in the past. I mean, it's.
It's the weekend game.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a bunch on this show. We know the weekday games don't go very well. And the weekend games go well, so.
A&M and Alabama are actually very similar schematically. A&M's got one. They both got two good post players. A&M's are obviously better than Alabama's combination of Dante Hall and Daniel Giddens. But Alabama's guard play certainly exceeds A&M's because A&M's really only got DJ Hogue that can shoot from outside, and everybody else is a good ball handler, but not really much of a scoring threat. Occasionally, Admon Gilder. I mean, I think it's a pretty even matchup. The question is, if it's a close game, does Alabama fight? Because we haven't seen a lot of fight from this team.
To be honest, if Alabama gets down, I don't know, 10 or 12 points early, it might get real bad. It might get really, really, really bad.
I don't know. I agree with you that obviously it's possible. But like I said, this game is a must win.
Yes.
If they lose, it's over.
I don't agree with that, but
it's more than likely that it's not going to go well. Because going into the tournament, losing, what would it be, four or five straight?
Five straight.
They would be the nine. It'd probably be the nine seed.
Eight seed. Lose probably eight or nine. Maybe ten.
Worst case scenario, 10. You play like a Mississippi State or Missouri, depending on the schedule. I don't know. You got to win this game. It's that simple.
The thing is, the reason why this is a must win is you just want to get that massive weight off your back. You just want to get it off your back, win the game, and then see where it goes from there in the SEC tournament.
Yeah,
you don't want to go in losing this game on Saturday.
Right now, Alabama will be the 8 seed in the SEC tournament, taking on 9 seed Georgia. Win that. You get Auburn again on a neutral floor. I actually wouldn't be opposed to seeing that not in Auburn Arena, considering how last Wednesday's game went. I don't know. I mean, again, do we think it'll happen? Not sure. Would we be surprised? Not at all. So we'll see. There's not a lot of time left, but there's enough time for everything to be corrected.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, this isn't the most expert analysis you'll get, but it really could go either way. There's two teams that. It's the same team, but there's two different versions of the team, and it just depends on what version comes out to play.
Yeah.
Did you guys know Alabama had 17 offensive rebounds last night?
Oh.
Maybe more.
Early in the first half, they were crushing Florida on the glass.
Yeah. Florida only had one or two offensive rebounds the entire night. I don't know
more to add to that.
I remember one specific play from last night where it was basically just the only word to describe it is pretty much just a scrum underneath the hoop. A missed layup, offensive rebound, another missed putback, offensive rebound, another missed putback, offensive rebound, and another missed putback. And then Florida finally got the rebound and then went down and drilled a three. That sums up last night's game to a T.
Honestly, it just hurts my head. It hurts my head. And it, I said at the end of last segment, there's a somber mood in the room because it's so disappointing because this team is so good and could be so good.
They started
can
off
still
so
be
well.
So good.
Exactly. It's not over yet.
No.
It's getting
not
pretty
at
close,
all.
But
They started off so well last night, too. They came out firing.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Oh, they came out. Florida was just about to call a timeout because Alabama was up, I think, 6 or 7-0 within the first, like, 30 seconds of the game. And then Florida's about to call a timeout, and then Florida goes down, hits a couple shots, slows the game down, and then...
What was the line on that game? You know?
Alabama -2.5.
Yeah, it was. I think it was Alabama. Yeah. Yeah, it was something
I saw
like that.
It at...
Alabama was favored.
I saw Alabama +1 towards the end of the game. That's what I saw.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Well, I know Monday night, as of Monday, it was -2.5. And we don't want to relish too much on this game because there is...
Let's talk about something
else. There's some more Alabama's got. They've got A&M Saturday. SEC tournament begins next Wednesday. So we'll see how this team's able to finish up. One team that is dealing with some issues that aren't necessarily on court that they also wish would go away, Arizona. Last week, Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN reported that Coach Sean Miller was caught on a FBI wiretap saying he would pay DeAndre Ayton $100,000 to come play for Arizona. Sean Miller sat out the Saturday game against Oregon last weekend, but DeAndre Ayton played. So first off, guys, overall thoughts on this, and honestly, I'm shocked DeAndre Ayton played last Saturday. I know that some of the details of the report have been called into question the last couple days, but I still don't know why you wouldn't tread on the side of caution and sit Ayton in that game, especially considering why? Arizona's safe in the tournament. Are you asking me why?
Yeah.
Because what if it happened? And then you play when it's out to the public. Now the whole season's in jeopardy. I mean, you could plead, you know, well, we honestly didn't know before the report came out, but now the report's out and you still play him after that, there's no coming back from that.
But
they've
still
risked their entire season.
Even if you are safe in the tournament and it's found that it did happen, isn't your season pretty much over anyway?
Not necessarily. I mean, there are ways that you can fight it. You can sit him for the tournament and then maybe those wins wouldn't be vacated however far they go in March Madness. But now that he's played, with them knowing the details of this report again, if it proves factual, then everything could go away really quickly.
The thing with me is if you sit DeAndre Ayton and keep him out, I think that, like, in the court of public opinion, it's like, oh, well, he did do it. Like, he did take the money. And
see, I disagree. I think it's more
because that's
just being careful.
And that's the thing with the coach, too. Him sitting out, it's like, oh, well, if he didn't think that he did anything wrong, then he would have coached.
He's
this
done.
Past weekend.
He'll never have a job in the NCAA ever again.
But we'll
opinion.
Find out tomorrow because their board is meeting. But
I
agree.
Saw someone,
I think he's done.
He's done.
I saw, I don't remember who it was, someone with a blue check mark tweeted, like, it was some.
No, it wasn't me, though.
That's like everybody.
Well, no, but like, just so it's legit. It's not just some random person. But no, you know what I mean?
Definitely not.
I know what you're saying. I'm just
the blue check mark is the key to everything in life. In the Twitter,
it was on my Christmas list this year, but Santa did not deliver, unfortunately.
Well, no, but I saw someone, I don't remember who tweeted it, but it was like, it said something like 20 coaches from big time programs could be fired in the next 2 weeks.
I've got that in my notes. That was Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports that tweeted that. He said that on the Clay Travis show. He said it on the Round Table in Birmingham.
I think he said it on Dan Patrick's show as well.
Yeah. So Sean Miller. A lot of the people I've talked to have said Bruce Pearl is going to be gone by the end of the year. Not the end of this basketball season, but by the start of next year, Bruce Pearl will not be the coach at Auburn. And there will be more.
Oh, this is my only fear. I guess not fear, because I don't know. This is a longer debate about if players should get paid and all that kind of stuff. I do think that the one thing that will 100% change is basketball and football players, I believe, are the only one of the two sports that don't allow players to have agents. Is that correct?
I can't confirm that.
Baseball, I believe you can have an agent. Hockey, you can have an agent. Football and basketball, you cannot. I think that's going to change. But honestly, the thing that kind of stuck out to me is only $100,000. Like
that's what I said.
That's
I thought the same thing.
I thought it'd be
it is worth way more than that. That's
money.
A steal.
Just think about jersey sales.
Oh, yeah.
What Arizona got DeAndre Ayton at a discount.
I mean, it really did.
50% off.
What do you think that number is?
For how much he's worth
I have a
as
number.
A high schooler?
Yeah, I have a number in my mind.
I would put I would say 500,000. He was what, number two on the recruiting rankings?
Top five, yeah.
500,000.
He's a big man.
What's your number, Mike?
He's a program.
I was going to say 500,000.
We're all in agreement because I have 500,000 as well.
But I really do. I don't want to see this come out because.
But this is
y'all know.
Though.
What do you mean?
Like to say that this is a one time case. I know there's 20 coaches, but this is happening everywhere, whether you get caught or not.
Oh.
It's
well,
just, it's the reality.
Yes, it is, and that's hard for me to admit because you know y'all know I'm a purist. I like to think of everything as clean, and you know I'm involved with the athletic side of a lot of things, and I know a lot of these people, I know a couple coaches, not a lot, but the ones that I know, some of them are friends, and some of them have been accused of cheating, and I can't believe that, and it just hurts to see these reports come out, and eventually one of them is going to hit, you know, somebody close to home. Like I can't tell the story, but I have a John Calipari story that after I heard it and after I talked to the person that was involved, it completely changed my view of him. Completely.
Sure, and you don't want to tell it on the radio?
I can't say it on the radio because it's a personal story.
What
but
about off air?
I can tell you. I can say it off air.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I'll tell y'all. But
I'm excited.
These are people. And, they've got families, and yes, they're making mistakes, and yes, this should be happening. It's going to be good to get the coaches out, or excuse me, the cheaters out, but I don't know. It just hurts to see this happening to a sport I love, especially when it's at, I think, the most exciting it's been in a long time because there's so much unexpectedness about everything.
Yeah, I heard Jay Billis bring up this point, and I think he hit the nail right on the top of the head. To not allow human beings to act in natural human behavior, to apply a free market system to something that makes no sense why there shouldn't be. I'm butchering this, but to not allow
you're close.
It's tough because
paraphrase
to not allow human beings to act in a human way, and what I mean by that is human like people will
to
do.
Cheat.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I think that's the way it is.
Not
people,
cheap, but,
not cheap but make sure that they get what they want and
get what they deserve.
And get what they deserve.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine, in my opinion. I think in this rules, you have to go around a lot of things. I think having players have agents is the first step to try and, Gray, like you said, purify this controversy. We didn't even talk about Colin Sexton, though.
No. Well, because that's such a small piece of it. They don't even – the initial report by Yahoo didn't even say if he got paid or how much he got paid. They just said he had contacted an agent and been to lunch with an agent.
That's unbelievable that – because I remember I saw the headline that his name was on there, and I was texting you, and I read the article, and I was like, okay, so somebody allegedly paid for his dinner or his lunch.
But because it's Colin Sexton,
oh yeah,
he's
course.
The lead.
Yeah, but – to be in the same list with a guy who's being offered allegedly $100,000, and that's in the same context of this FBI investigation.
Yeah,
that got me mad. But I've calmed down just because it's hard to defend this team in either context. It's tough.
Well, we can talk more FBI. We've got a lot more to discuss on the second half of the student section here on 90.7 The Caps. I'm also going to talk about the Big Ten tournament. Their first game is right now, which is weird, in Madison Square Garden. How do we feel about that? Plus, a lot more coming up on the student section. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Joe Tessitore from SEC Nation. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Welcome back to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. It is Wednesday night, February 28th. Year of our Lord 2018. Gray Robertson, James Ranieri, Mike Jones. You haven't heard that?
No.
That's back in the old English days. I would say the year of our Lord 1712. You never heard that?
No. As soon as you said that, that's why you called on me. I just looked right up.
Yeah.
that didn't make any sense to me.
I think that was maybe the first or maybe second time I've ever heard that.
Really?
That was the first.
Nothing?
I've never heard that before in my entire life.
I feel like the only other time I would hear that is on like a TV show.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I've seen on some SNL skits when they do the stuff from, you know, I won't say it anymore. I didn't realize this would be so controversial.
Well, no, we're
just talking.
Let's talk about it for a little bit. So what I thought was.
I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I have no problem with it either. That's why we're going to do it. So I thought you said, like, year of our, I just heard of our Lord, and when you talk about the date, I was like, isn't that Sunday? So I was like,
no, that's the Sabbath, the day of the Lord on the during the week. Yeah.
But then I was like, but Gray, it's Wednesday, it's not Sunday. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
You just didn't listen then.
Yeah, just like during our podcast.
That's the problem.
The Tied on Tour golf podcast, which you can find on caps_sports.
Oh, I wish I had a sound effect for that.
Pew, pew, pew.
Oh, goodness. Hey, before we get into more sports topics, big Tuscaloosa news. Today was the grand opening of Whataburger.
I knew that.
You knew that?
I know where we're going after this.
Yeah, well, no, we shouldn't, because apparently
cars
around the block,
absolutely not,
people
today
wrapped around the building, Tuscaloosa PD is out there directing traffic.
That's one of those things funny. We're going to have to wait a couple weeks.
Yeah, certainly not happening this week.
No.
You okay, James? Have you had Whataburger?
I have, but that's so funny.
Is it that good?
I like it.
I've never had, but like, is
I
it?
Personally,
that's not the question.
Okay, well,
is it
compared to
good?
What?
No, I'm not.
Give me a comparison. Is it better than McDonald's? Yes.
No, I'm not. Don't try to compare it to any restaurant.
Why not?
Because, well, I'm well, just saying.
You, yeah, that's not fair.
Well, I don't want to call out a specific restaurant because, I mean.
You scare their listeners?
That's how you do it. You rank
no,
things.
No, it's just.
We're a society that ranks things in a hierarchy.
I was going to say it as a broad question. Is it that good to where all those people are going there and the police have to direct traffic?
No, of course
like,
not.
Like, is it that good? That's all I was saying.
Well, okay, but
I mean, comparing it to
Alabama softball, they're going to Seattle this weekend on their weekend road trip. I'm not going. They traveled today. I hope everybody got there safe. They're going to see the first Starbucks in America. It's up in Seattle. I mean, is it really that different going to the first Starbucks and going to regular Starbucks? No.
Yes, it is.
No,
I've been
not.
There before.
It is not.
Have you been there before?
Patrick Murphy, the softball coach, has, and he told me it's not that special.
Of course it's not
that
special.
That's what he
said. But it's a little bit different. The logo is the old logo on the outside of the building, which is also clear, which is right across the street from the Fisherman's, you know, where
the fish market.
Fish
yeah.
market. It's right across the street from there, so I've been there before. Seattle's also an underrated city.
Don't make me wish I'd gone.
It rains all the time there.
It's apparently supposed to snow Friday. So I told the team, have fun.
Well,
bring your sleds.
So
I'll be in Texas.
There's a mountain called Mount Rainier. And my last name is Rainier. So you take the I, the second to last letter in Rainier, put it all the way on the bottom. And that's my last name. And we got special treatment because of that.
Really?
We really did.
Interesting.
Oh, gosh. Everybody, like when my dad
like, whoa, it's the mountain people.
That's exactly what they said.
Where's your
it's
mansion?
It's the people who named the mountain.
Yeah, and it got old real quick.
Oh, well, oh gosh. All right, that was a lot. Right
I just
there.
Thought.
Oh, okay. Joe Lenardi, our dear friend at ESPN, the bracketologist, has gotten to the point of the year where he's going to be updating the bracket every night. His four number one seeds right now are Virginia, Villanova, Xavier, Kansas. That's in order. Do we agree? Two seeds are Purdue, Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina. That is not in order. What do we think, guys?
I like Duke at number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think they're the best team in the country.
You do know they lost the other night, right?
I do.
I still think
they're the best team in the country.
Okay.
I think the coaching, Grayson Allen, is my favorite player in college basketball. Bagley the third or junior? I was confused.
The second.
Yeah, the second. He's the best player in the country who I think should probably get Naismith. That's the best player of the year?
Yes.
If it's not Trae Young, I think he's the clear number two. I think Bagley is going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. I think he's the best player. I think Duke's the best team. I'm going to pick them to win the title. I'm going to pick that now in February, and I'm sticking to it.
Mm. I don't have any problems, Jans. I mean,
I don't have any problems. Michigan State's going to win the whole thing, though.
I disagree. I disagree heartily. And we can dig into that another time because there's more Big Ten news that we have to get to. Right now, the Big Ten is playing their first Big Ten tournament game. It is the thriller that is Iowa and Illinois. Hawkeyes leading that game right now, 82-73. Yes, I know you're all watching the Big Ten Network and listening to us. They moved the conference tournament up to this week because Madison Square Garden was booked next week, and Commissioner Jim Delaney said, well, we have to be at Madison Square Garden, move it up a week. Closest team is Rutgers, who I think is 430 miles or something away from Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is ridiculous, it's, right? I mean,
Rutgers from New York City is probably like 3 hours, maybe four. Yeah.
But I mean, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Ridiculous.
What is it booked? Like, what's next week that they can't
do? I think...
Is it the Big East?
I think it's the ACC. No, ACC's in Brooklyn. It might be the Big East. I think it is the Big East.
The Big East.
I think that's... Yeah. I mean, if you really want to play in Madison Square Garden, I think that's stupid. But if you really want to play there, Big East gets preferential treatment.
But also, why does the Big Ten want to play there?
Why don't they... They normally play it in the Pacers arena, right?
Yeah, sure.
I want to say
I'm not sure. I think maybe it's kind of
they do switch. Usually play it in Indianapolis. I think so, but I can't.
I feel like that's where it should be.
Yeah,
it makes logical sense.
Like when, I don't know, just I guess because of how it's been my whole life. Whenever I think like, oh, what conference tournament is in the Madison Square Garden? The Big East tournament.
Yeah,
not the Big Ten.
And the Big Ten always had the prime spot for their championship game because it always was right before the Selection Sunday show. And now they're going the week. I mean, who's going to watch the Friday games this week for the Big Ten tournament? No one. Or who's going to watch the Saturday games? Everybody's going to be watching everything else around the country. Would you rather watch a potential Nebraska-Michigan State semifinal or Duke-North Carolina?
Oh, is that a serious question?
That's a serious question. That shouldn't be hard to answer.
I'll answer it. Duke UNC.
Yeah.
I won't even answer it.
Yeah. That's why I was confused.
Because the answer is obvious. It's Michigan State and Nebraska. Kidding.
You're
kidding.
Husker, you're a Children of the Corn fan?
No, I just told you Michigan State's winning it all.
Did you see a thing that, just going back off Big Ten in Iowa, I don't know what website it was, but they ranked the best state in the country, and it was Iowa that won.
How?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up right now, though.
What?
It's like, that would be like, they had, you know, too many people had different number ones, but everybody kind of put Iowa at two or three as the pity vote, you know? I mean, all of a sudden, whoa, Iowa has the most points. How'd that happen? Because nobody hates Iowa, but nobody loves Iowa either. Iowa's just kind of there.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Iowa's just is just there.
I mean, they've got good fan bases, and they've got the best tradition in college football with the Hawkeye Wave or whatever it's called in the direction of the hospital. But best state, it's Alabama.
I'm almost there.
I'm not biased. But.
Okay, Iowa, this is CBS this morning. It's got the blue check mark, Mike Jones.
That means it's official.
No, like, literally, the Twitter world is...
All right, here we go.
Encapsulated by the blue check mark.
Going in the top five, this is U.S. News and World Report list of this year's top state in 2018. Number five is New Hampshire. Congratulations, Mike Jones. Number four,
nice.
The great state of North Dakota.
Really? Do they have enough people up there to tally votes? Okay.
Go Bison.
Number three, I'm going to make you guess. I'm going to make you guess, Gray.
Well, if it gets better, then I'm going to go Wyoming.
Yeah, close.
You're not too far off. Utah.
Okay.
No, we know what number one is. What's number one is Iowa, and number two?
Virginia. Really?
No, you have to use like the opposite logic. So what?
Oh, right. Okay. South Dakota.
Minnesota.
Oh.
All the hamsters.
All
up
states
in
that they could have played the Big Ten tournament
going around
in except Madison Square Garden.
The last two.
Oh no.
Is Louisiana
and Mississippi.
Mississippi's 49th. Mississippi's always 49th.
Death taxes Mississippi at the bottom of a ranking.
I can get the full list.
Yeah. We can make that happen. We'll talk about that during the break. So Big Ten tournament is this week. I guess clear your schedules for that. James.
Not.
Your boy Tiger Woods. What was that this weekend?
His back.
Almost a top 10.
Yeah, that was.
Whoa. I mean, I watched on Sunday because I actually had some free time.
Isn't it awesome?
Softball got canceled. Yeah, it was
so
weird.
I'm so excited that golf is
isn't
back.
The atmosphere so much different?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, I remember, I don't remember who they were following at one point, but there was somebody on the green getting ready to putt. You hear this massive roar. Tiger saved par. That's it. Tiger saved par.
And when he got to within four shots. At one point on Sunday.
I was thinking, like, I was texting James. Yeah. I remember I was like, he texted me something. I go, hold on, Tiger's making a run. And he goes, he's only got four holes left. And I was like, yeah, he's only down
matter.
Four.
It doesn't matter, though. Yeah, I was just doing the math as to see, like, how close he was. But you can listen to all of this on the Tide on Tour podcast, which you can find at @capstone_sports on Twitter. It's the pinned tweet and will remain the pinned tweet until
what about
week.
Our show?
It'll get a tweet. It won't get the pinned tweet.
See, that is abuse of power.
But yeah, just it is 100% abuse of power. That's
abuse
more than
of power.
Because I am the sports czar. But
Caesar.
All right, well, I didn't get a chance to join the podcast this week.
That's
so
true, we act you out.
I do want to also point out that Justin Thomas won again. I believe he's got 8 tour wins in the last.
He's got 7 in the last 31 starts,
okay.
8 overall.
Okay. So
did you also lose a little bit of respect for him over the weekend?
I did not.
I did.
I didn't. Because I understand. I understand it. I understand why
I understand
he did what he did. James,
why, but
James, you want to let the listeners know? Because I know you're the golf guy.
I'm the golf guy.
Yeah.
I'm a golf guy.
Sorry.
I'm not the golf guy.
No, it's okay. I'm just messing around. So it was the 15th and 16th hole. Some guys apparently chirping JT. One hole he yelled, get into the water. Apparently Justin looked back and wasn't too thrilled with that. Then the next hole, he hits a shot right down the fairway. Some guy yells, get in the bunker. JT turns around and he goes, all right, who was that? You're at whoever it is, and they found him. He's like, yeah, you're out of here, buddy. Like, super condescending, just being pretty mean. But wait, I want to go.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
So JT also, he went on to apologize, this long thing saying, I love my fans, all this great thing. I'm sorry a bunch of lost you. This guy was chirping me the whole time. He said more than that, and I don't believe his response for this reason. In his response, he said that the guy was chirping him for a bunch of 9 holes. So if you would think if you heard someone doing that for 9 holes, which is probably like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, you would know exactly who that was. You would know what that person looks like. You would know where they're standing, what their voice is. You would know who that was. He turns around and says, "Who said that?" That's the part. That's the kind of detail.
Well, maybe so, but I mean, the guy could have been floating in and out. I mean, you don't know.
Apparently, reports were that he was following them.
Really?
The whole time. Yeah.
Okay. Here's my thought before we go to break. I don't think so. I don't disagree with him kicking him out because, you know, I don't love when people yell mashed potatoes after tee shots. But really, people shouldn't be yelling derogatory things anyway. I don't like Justin Thomas's original statement where he said that, I think he said it hurt his feelings, or I can't remember what the exact statement
Ooh.
Was. I didn't love that because he should have been getting rid of the guy because it probably wasn't just Justin that was getting annoyed. He was playing with Luke List, right? I mean, that was probably, if I'm Luke List, that probably also, just hearing a guy yell like that, that would bug me.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of
the thing is, couldn't you pick him out and just talk to him? Just be like, come on, man.
Not then. It's the final round. You're in contention. You're not thinking about that.
But he's,
you're not trying to.
But if I'm JT, the way I handle that situation, if it's really bugging me, I don't think it should, because he's never been in the Ryder Cup, and that's a different atmosphere. if you're getting
that is so true. Wait till the Ryder Cup comes around. He's going to be it's in Europe too.
Oh, and
what are they going to kick out all of Europe from the Ryder Cup? Only USA fans can go to the Ryder
all right,
Cup.
One more word, James, if you go to break.
But not even that. If Justin Thomas thinks this is going to stop, there's a tournament tomorrow. I guarantee he hears get in the water at least 10 times tomorrow.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He'll hear it for the rest of his career.
Despite.
Yeah,
He's becoming a villain, and golf needs more villains.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Very, very quickly, he either has to embrace it or apologize. He can't,
embrace it.
Keep going back
embrace
and forth.
It, JT.
I
love JT.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I love JT.
All right, we've extended
embrace
this. We got a little heavy into the golf conversation, which is always good, and we've got some more conversation coming up when we come back on the other side. Bama baseball is never losing again. Softball's in Seattle. And our Oscar picks. The Academy Awards is on Sunday. We're going to see how many of these movies Mike Jones has seen. Coming up on the other side here in the student section on 90.7 The Capstone.
message for community.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Looks like a dog.
Oh, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
That's so nice of him. He's such a fan. Can't wait to get him on. We'll get him on one day.
We'll get him on one day.
We'll get him on one day. All right, quick recaps of baseball and softball. Baseball is 9-0. They just beat Alabama State.
Never lost.
Never lost.
Yes.
Never lost.
And I hope we can say that all year.
Oh, we're even if they lose.
They're going to Omaha. Okay.
Never lost. Quick side note. Do you guys see that LeVar LaMelo piece in Bleacher Report?
No.
Apparently a purse.
I see the name ball, I run away.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there was a reporter from Bleacher Report who followed like LeVar Ball and LaMelo going from Chino Hills, California, it's a nice place, to somewhere in
Lithuania.
And I haven't read it, but I've heard reports about the article. It's really good and it's kind of a must read. So check it out.
Maybe, but it's about the balls. So probably.
But it's about the balls in Lithuania.
Maybe. Oh gosh, that's such a reality show. Baseball.
They have a reality show.
I'm not watching it.
I've seen it. It's really good.
Oh, stop, James.
I'll stop talking about them now.
No, this is a ball-free zone. Baseball.
Please. Do we make that like a rule on the show?
We'll put it on the door. Baseball is at Oklahoma this weekend. We'll see if they can keep that undefeated record going. Softball is 10-0. They're in the Husky Classic this weekend up in Seattle. Two games against one-ranked Washington. Friday and Saturday, they also play Northwestern, BYU, and Portland State. Good luck to Tom Canterbury, who will be on the call up there, as well as the team, hoping that they will snag 5 wins, including 2 against the top-ranked team in the country, and come back Tuscaloosa next week for a 5-game tournament as well. But we're going to take a minute to focus away from the sports headlines and talk about the Academy Awards. They're on Sunday. I've seen 7 out of the 9 movies that are nominated for Best Picture, and most of the movies with major nominations. Wrote an article about it for Student Union Sports the other day. It's really good. Go check it out. I ranked all the movies. James knows most of the movies. I've seen most of the movies.
I know all the movies. I've seen half them.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to give our thoughts, somewhat vague thoughts, about each movie, and Mike Jones will have to tell us what that movie's about.
We'll give him the name of the movie and have him tell us what it's about, and then we'll tell him how he's wrong.
Okay.
You start. All right. You want to start from the bottom or the top?
We'll start from the bottom. 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Mike Jones.
Okay. This seems like a movie that takes place in Ebbing, Missouri.
Very good.
And there's probably 3 billboards outside of it that the people probably don't like. And there's probably a bunch of like protests to try to get them down.
You've seen the trailer to this?
No, I've never heard of
this. Well,
there
aren't protests, but that's close.
There's people protesting about it.
Yeah.
Individuals.
I've never heard of this movie.
Yeah. It's starring Frances McDormand, the front runner to win Best Actress. It is about a mother who is trying to shine a light on her daughter's rape and murder that happened 6-7 months prior. The police stopped investigating. She's using the 3 billboards to call out the local police chief for halting the investigation or for it becoming a cold case, whatever. I love the movie. It was my top-ranked movie. It would be my Best Picture choice. I actually think it will win. I'm a big fan. James, have you seen it, 3 billboards?
I'm actually going to watch it tonight.
Great movie. I watched it also on National Championship weekend, so I find it good luck. All right. Shape of Water. Have you seen – do you know anything about The Shape of Water? Have you seen the trailer?
No. Never heard of it. Never seen the trailer. The only thing I could think of is a documentary
Shape
about
of Water.
Water.
Hyphen H2O?
Yeah. Just a documentary about water.
Well, it's about
I know what it is, and I can't even explain what it's about.
No, have you seen it?
No, but I know what it's
Seems
about.
Seems like a lot of the Best Picture movies are pretty much like that.
Let me guess what I think it's about. I've seen the trailer, but I can't really explain what it is.
Because I have seen this one.
So there's a girl who works in this like scientific laboratory who I guess they find or create this sea monster.
They find it.
They find this like sea monster, and then she falls in love with the sea monster.
Yes.
Wait, are you serious?
Hey, it's one of it's one of the 3 favorites to win Best Picture.
You're
seriously
kidding me.
It was my 4th ranked movie out of the 11 that I saw. Sally Hawkins is excellent. It's a good movie. And Guillermo del Toro is going to win Best Director.
Oh, my God.
It's a good movie.
It's a love story between a sea monster
it's
and a
really,
human lady.
It's really well done.
Oh, my God.
It's really well done. But, yes,
and,
it
like,
is.
I am on the side of like, I have this, like, developing take that I've told James about, like, three times to where people aren't, like, movie creators aren't, and TV show creators are not very creative nowadays.
And there is a lawsuit about Shape of Water that it was copyrighted from, I think, a poem or a short story.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I was just talking about all the sequels, all the money grabs with, like, Star Wars and all this stuff. Nobody's creative enough. This is a little too...
Okay.
All right, let's try and speed it up. The Post, you know what The Post is about, right?
Yeah,
Instagram.
Washington Post.
Just kidding.
All right, so we'll give you that one. Phantom Thread, what's that about?
Oh, God. Some guy that nobody knows who he is who makes a bunch of clothes with this thread.
That's actually
machine.
Not awful.
It's not bad.
I will say this. I saw the movie in Gulf Shores. Awful. Absolutely awful. I left so depressed. I wasted my money. Awful.
What's it about?
It is about a dressmaker who
was kinda right.
Is in this relationship with this girl, and it's very toxic and there's it's weird. I didn't like it at all. Daniel Day-Lewis is great. I didn't like it. Haven't seen The Post yet, by the way. Lady Bird.
When I first looked at it, I thought it said Larry Bird.
I thought the same thing.
I looked and then looked away and then looked back, and I was like, wait a second, did I say Larry Bird?
I swear to God, I knew you were going to say that.
With this movie seems like some, like, who knows? Maybe it's a love story between a lady and a bird.
It is not. It is not.
No, my guess would be maybe this lady finds a hurt bird.
No.
And then takes it home and helps it recover and then lets it go.
New from Pixar. Have you seen this one, James?
That'd be a good Pixar short.
I haven't seen it, but I know what it's about.
Yeah, it's good.
It's about the a teenage daughter and her mother's relationship.
Yeah,
and
focusing on the daughter as she went through Catholic school and gets ready to go to college. It's good acting. I didn't love the movie. I felt unfulfilled leaving it. I thought I'd come out of it feeling something, and I didn't.
See, I like that actress, Cerise. I don't even know.
Saoirse Ronan.
So I've seen her a bunch of on interviews. I always watch talks late night. She's been really good on those.
Yeah.
She's got an awesome accent. Also, did you know she's in The Galway Girl, the Ed Sheeran music? You know that?
Yeah, I have not seen that music video.
It's good. It's good
she is from Ireland.
She's
so that makes sense. Yeah. All right, Get Out. You've seen or heard of Get Out,
I've never seen it, but I heard of it, and I've seen trailers on it.
Yeah.
So what's it about? You were going to chime away with this.
Well, I think I know what it's about, because it's like this this African-American kid whose girlfriend is white, and he goes to, live with that family,
Not
and they don't
live.
Like him or something.
Well, he goes for the
and
weekend.
And they pretty much just say, well, get out.
No,
let's just keep going. Let's
that's actually a much tamer version of...
Key and Peele did it.
Well, that's the thing. They don't want it to get out. They want it to stay.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, you got to see it. It's one of the three front runners.
Do bad stuff to
Yes. Him. It's one of the three front runners to win Best Picture.
It's a really good... I did see that one. I'm not a horror movie fan at all, but I love that movie.
I really liked it, but it was very low on my list. I think I had an eighth of the movies that I saw.
See, I like Bradley Whitford. That was the dad's name? I loved him in The West Wing. I love that show. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
Very, very good.
I'm
trying to finish it. I got a couple more seasons.
Dunkirk.
Yeah.
So you've
seen
it.
You didn't like
it. Seen it. It was like, I didn't really understand with the whole timeline thing until I was probably 3/4 of the way through the movie.
I understand.
There's not enough dialogue for me to stay focused. It's almost like watching paint dry. And Great story. I love the whole premise of it. It's an awesome story, but overall, I thought it was kind of boring.
See, my favorite part of that movie was Harry Styles. He killed it.
I thought so too.
He absolutely
and that stunned me. I can't believe I left that movie thinking, "How is Harry Styles a good actor?"
That was what I came out of the movie as well. Is that Harry Styles killed Dunker?
That and the fact that it was just so technically awesome. Sound.
Yeah.
Visual effects, everything.
Tom Hardy was great in that, too.
Yes. Dunkirk, a little outside the front runner. logo. Darkest Hour, no shot to win Best Picture. Gary Oldman favored to win Best Actor. Have you seen or know?